Guess y'all are waiting on me. Good morning. So good to be in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to our church bulletin, there are several announcements listed. I will not mention all of those. We'll highlight a couple of those. Also, take notice of the pew pads located at the end of each pew. Invite members and guests alike to take that, jot down your information, pass it down to the next person in the aisle, and when you're finished, pass it back to the center aisle, and we'll pick those up later on today. Just want to get a record of your attendance, and thank you for worshiping with us today. Proud of each of you for braving this rough weather we have out there. Hope nobody slipped on all that ice we got.
Davie County's representing. I'm thinking.
I hear Davie County's here, Davidson County's here. Any other counties representing today? Forsyth? Oh, y'all did make it, didn't you? Hey, just a reminder on that. Anytime we do have bad weather, if you want updates, obviously we try to send out emails and that kind of things, but you can always call the church office and there will be a weather update. You can listen to the voicemail and just hear what it has to say, and it'll tell you if we're having service or what service we're having, if we're not having service. You can also check WXII as well as our church website. If in doubt, you can call me. Just don't do it before 6 a.m., please. But other announcements we have, some are listed here, some are not. There's no channels tonight. Something about a big Super Bowl game or something, I think, is affecting some of those plans. There's no channels. However, the Sanctuary Bell Choir, they will meet at 6 p.m. And I imagine that won't be a long rehearsal tonight. But who knows? The youth have normal schedule activities, as normal can be for Super Bowl. They will gather here to watch the game and anything else Jeff has planned for them. So youth, be sure to be here tonight. Also, we do have our children's time later on in the service following our first hymn. Invite the children to come down front to meet Jeff. Hoops for Him is in the midst of the tournament. I believe all of our teams won yesterday and will play this week. You can check the church website, the Hoops for Him website, to find out when they play. I believe the senior boys will play on Tuesday, 6:30 here. The girls will play on Thursday. Everybody else plays on Thursday. That means Jeff doesn't remember off the top of his head, but I couldn't keep up with all that either. Everybody else plays Thursday, but the senior boys plays Tuesday. If you have any questions, you can see one of us following the service, and we'll look it up on our phones for you. It's a great day to be in God's house. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle, and if you're a guest with us, you're going to win the grand prize. We thank you for coming today to visit with us to worship. We just want to give you a little bit of information about who we are and how we do things. Inside, there's a letter from our pastor as well as a church newsletter just letting you know stuff going on in the life of our church, and we just thank you for worshiping with us today. It's always good to be in God's house despite the weather outside. I was excited to get up and go see what the weather was outside this morning, to see God's beautiful creation, to see the ice hanging from the trees. As long as it doesn't knock out the power, it's always gorgeous to me. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability we have to wake up and to see your beautiful creation. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here this morning despite the weather and to sing praises to your name. Father, there's a lot going on today, a lot of things that we have created in this world. But Father, nothing is more important than who created the world. So right now, let us focus on you and let us worship on you. Father, we're waiting to hear from you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Good to see everybody. I need some help this morning. If you are on the inside aisles, we're going to need your help. I need your hand up like this to get a high five in just a minute, okay? So just be ready. Just be ready. All right, I need everybody. Everybody stand up. We're going to go on a journey. All right, we're going to take a little trip. You want to go with us? Let's all walk this way. Do you have any idea where we're going? No idea whatsoever. Now, this is really important that you high five everybody that you come and there, Miss Georgie. We've got everybody's high fiving. Everybody. If we're not quite reaching you, we're high fiving you in our minds. All right? High five. All right. Let me see it. Everybody. Oh, there we go. Oh, we're getting the back. These men and women in the back who stand here look like they're not doing anything. They're very important. All right. Oh, we're coming back down the aisle. Here we go. Oh, look at all these people. Can you believe all these people woke up and braved the elements to come to church this morning? Oh, here we go. And here we go. Choir, high fives. Yeah. Fist bumps. Nice. All right, come take a seat. Whew. Did y'all have any idea where we were going? But you followed me. Why did you follow me? That's a good question, isn't it? Why would you follow my directions? There's a guy in the Bible. His name's Abraham. He was told by God, I want you to go on a journey, a place that he had never been before. He had to walk 500 miles. I get worn out driving 500 miles, much less walking 500 miles. He had to go from one country in a place called Ur and walk all this way. You see those arrows? All the way to Canaan. And he had never been there before. But you know what? God said, I'm going to be with you. You know what made that trip fun? We had people that were with us. God put these people in our lives, in this sanctuary today, to remind you that God's going to send you to do something somewhere. And sometimes it's scary, and sometimes you don't want to do it. You're not even sure where you're going. But if you've got those people that are walking with you, and you high-five them, that's a reminder that God is always with you. And whatever journey we're on, if we've got God, it doesn't matter. If it's rainy or icy or snowy or cloudy or sunny, if we've got God on our journey, then everything's going to be all right. That's the message of Abraham. That is good news, all right? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that even though we didn't know where we were going today, we know that you're already there, and that you have taken care of us, and you want us just to trust, to go on this journey that you've called us to. And Father, for us as kids, that's at school. There are some people at school that you want us to be friends with and to share your love with. Help us to have that courage to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11, and then verses 19 through 20. If you don't have your Bible with you, there is a pew Bible there. Page 448 is where we'll be reading. Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11 and 19 through 20. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And then moving to verses 19 through 20. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, you have done so much for us. For those who call on the name of Christ, you have done more than anyone else. Thank you that in Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we have hope. In Christ we have forgiveness and purpose. No one else. No one else besides believers in Christ understand how much you have given. Father, this journey that we are on, may we decide each day that no matter where it takes us, that we will honor you in everything, every day, every breath that we take, in our decisions, our words, our actions, our attitudes. May everything we have reflect you. For that's what this world needs. It's an accurate picture of the cross. People who sacrifice their own needs, their own desires for what you want. May we be the kind of people who deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. That is the picture of love that I need to see in the mirror and that our world needs to see. May we honor you. May our coworkers, may our family, may our sons, may our daughters, may our moms and dads, may our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles, may our neighbors, may our schoolmates, may our teachers, our administrators, the people that are in our lives see us as people who follow you no matter what, with love in our heart, joy in our soul. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you through giving and our offerings. We hand them to you with unconditional love, and we thank you in advance for the wonderful things that you will do with them. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of generosity and for all the embodiments of it that we see here in our own congregation. Bless the gift, the giver, and the receiver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are continuing on in a series we started 2 weeks ago, and I've mentioned the other times, but I'll mention again, and we'll continue to mention. The name of the book that I'm actually kind of following the outline of is a little book called The Whole Story of the Bible in 16 Verses. And as we've said before, it's not really 16 verses. It's more like 16 stops along the way, because some of them are multiple verses. Others are just single verses, but I will use a lot of his ideas, a general outline, a lot of my own stuff, a lot of other people's stuff. So it's really kind of a neat collection of of verses that kind of give us a snapshot view of Scripture, what the story of Scripture is as it unfolds. And we started out with God creating the world. We started out with in the beginning God, didn't we? We start with in the beginning God, and we know we struggle with that, and I'm kidding her, because we struggle with that concept of what was before that. And you know, our minds can only accept what we know, and that was in the beginning there was God, and He created everything that we see, right? And He said it was. Not only was it good, it was very good. And we've talked about the fact that that wasn't a commentary on how beautiful the world was, although it was. It is more a directive on the fact that everything that God created, when He created it, worked as it was supposed to. It was in proper relationship with itself, all the components of creation. Then we talked about the fact that He created humans, and he chose us to represent Him in this world and to take dominion and to have responsibility, to share responsibility for the world. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God's protective instructions, which led to a severing of the covenant agreement that He had with them and broke the direct fellowship between mankind and God. No longer could they walk with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. That had been broken. That relationship had been broken. A lot of other consequences, including sin and death. But God promised, even in the midst of that dark time, He promised to defeat the serpent through the seed of the woman. And we talked about the fact that in the midst of the darkest moment of humanity, God gave a glimmer of hope. God gave a glimmer of light and said, there will be redemption. And so we've moved on now. And we will move on, even as the conflict between the serpent and the seed of the woman continues. And as part of God's plan for victory, He came to a man named Abram. Now, his name will be changed to Abraham later, but initially his name was Abram. And He made an incredible promise to this man, Abram. And it's recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. If you want to open your Bible there, we're going to be in Genesis, so you're safe just to open it up and leave it at 12, and we'll be talking through a few verses there. But these two verses, God said to Abram, He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So you may read that and you go, okay, what was so special about Abram? Why did God choose Abram? What was so special about him? In a word, nothing. Nothing. What made Abram special is the fact that God chose him. That's pretty much it. As a matter of fact, according to Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, prior to God choosing Abram, he was an idolater. He worshiped other gods. And he was a pretty sinful guy. Now, as I read that, I go, well, God, what does that say about me? And He says, well, it means I choose you too. You're not perfect either. Just be available. When I choose you, be obedient. Be available. Abram was available. God chose him. But God made two pretty spectacular promises to Abram. He said He would make him a great nation and a great blessing. A great nation and a great blessing. So let's look at them one at a time. What does it take to be a great nation? Think about it. What do you need just to be a nation, let alone a great one? You need people, right? Can we all agree on that? What else do you need? A place, land. You kind of need a place to call your own, right? You know, if you're going to be a nation, you kind of need land, you kind of need people. And anytime you have people, you're also going to need
Rules. Yeah, but you hit two of them, leaders and rules. Okay? And if you got leaders and rules, especially the rules part, if you want to protect everybody, you got to have somebody that will do the protecting, right? If not military, then, you know, some sort of governance to help the people. And as you go, okay, that's kind of the basics for a nation. And Abram had none of these. He didn't have any of them. He was a nomad. He was a wandering shepherd. You know, he followed God, but he was easy to do because he had no roots. He was a wandering shepherd. Now, we know he had a pretty good supply of livestock. In that sense, he did have some wealth. He did have some animals, and animals were valuable back then, but he had no land. God had promised him land. He had nowhere where God could dwell with his people yet. Add to this the fact that according to Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, Abraham's wife Sarah was what? She was barren. It's kind of hard to have your peeps, you know? It's kind of hard to have people. It's kind of hard to have heirs when your wife is barren. There's a song the children sung, and I thought maybe Jeff might do it this morning. You know the song, Father Abraham? You know, and by the time it's over with, you're doing, you know, it's a kid's song that we teach our kids about Father Abraham, and it says he had many sons. Well, they didn't start that way because his wife was barren. Add to that the fact that at the time of this promise, Abraham was 75 years old. That's at the time of the promise. His wife Sarah was 65 years old. Those are not exactly prime time childbearing years, if you can have children at all. And God promised to make Abram, this landless, childless nomad, he promised to make him, secondly, a blessing to all the families of the earth. So let's review. God has chosen a childless, homeless, idolatrous old man as the guy who would help fulfill the promise to crush the head of the serpent. Really? What do you think Vegas would put the odds at that happening at? This is Super Bowl Sunday. There's a lot of crazy bets. I don't know if you've seen the thing of the stupid things that people are betting on. What would Vegas have put the odds of this happening? This guy is going to be the one that God uses to crush the head of the serpent or his lineage. Right, sure. Tell me another one. Fortunately, God does not care about odds. Unfortunately for our story, Abraham and Sarah did care about the odds, and they decided to help God out by taking things into their own hands. And that whole thing with Abraham having a son with his servant Hagar, yeah, that didn't go well. That didn't work out well. And fortunately, again, God keeps his promises. In his time, in his ways, not ours, in his time and in his ways, he was determined that it would be fulfilled through the son of Abraham and Sarah. And to reinforce this faithfulness, even in the years as they went by, with no children, still no children, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which, ironically, purposefully means father of a multitude. Don't you think there was a little bit of snickering and or, seriously, when he introduced himself? Hi, my name's Abraham. Really? Okay. Who named you that and why? You know, there had to be just a little bit of irony there. But it was looking forward. God, while he still had no children, changed his name to mean that he was a father of a multitude. Because God had a plan. And God was going to work it out in his time and in his way. Not only did he change Abraham's name, or Abram's name to Abraham, he also changed the spelling of Sarah's name. From Sarai to Sarah, which took with it the meaning princess. Princess, because she was going to be the mother of a nation. Fast forward 25 years. 25 years after the promise, fulfillment began with the birth of Isaac. And the biblical narrative kind of unfolds with the growth of the nation, the eventual acquisition of the land that was promised for the nation to grow. But back to this blessing thing. Back to the blessing that God had promised. And this is kind of a key point, because in order for Abraham to be a blessing to other people, he had to receive a blessing from God first. He had to receive in order to be or to give. And that is exactly what happened. And that is the promise that is unpacked over some time. And God told Abraham that he would be their God in Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8. And in Genesis 15, we see a very real manifestation acting out of exactly what God's level of commitment was. If you go back and read Genesis 15, toward the end of the chapter, you see this strange scene of this sacrifice and how things work through that. And for our 21st century mind, we go, that is just bizarre. But as you read that, understand the significance of that whole thing playing out, is that as God is there, he is promising Abraham, I am going to keep this covenant. I am going to keep this covenant with you, even if I have to keep both sides of the covenant. That's how serious God is, and he wants Abraham to know that. This is going to happen. And that's important. And it's important for a lot of reasons, but it's also, it kind of fast forwards us to what is our next verse. Our next verse comes from Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Look over there with me. Genesis 49, verse 10. This is stop number 6 on our journey, and it will require some explanation. That's okay. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here this morning, right? Genesis 49, verse 10 says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. And you're thinking, huh? That's okay. Let me give a little context. When we left the verses with Abraham, honestly, as you kind of read from there forward in the biblical narrative, we enter into this time that theologians called the era of the patriarchs. That is the fathers of the faith, Abraham and his sons and what happened after that. Now, if you read through that, it kind of reads like a soap opera. I mean, it really does. There's a lot of dysfunction. There's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of disappointment for God to have to endure this from his chosen people. I mean, it really is kind of seedy stuff. But in the midst of all of this, God is still working. He's working to preserve the promised line. And this fact teaches us that God's saving purposes ultimately to do, his saving purposes ultimately do not hang on our faithfulness. Do you get that? The faithfulness of humanity, the purposes of God do not hang on the faithfulness of humanity. And as you read through that, you go, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, seriously. And that fact is terribly humbling as well as comforting all at the same time. Because these men and women were not faithful to God. Fortunately, there were a few that were. But as a whole, humanity has not been faithful. Fortunately, Joseph was faithful. Joseph was faithful to be used by God to preserve Abraham's lineage. And as we get to our verse in Genesis 49:10, we discover that while God used Joseph to preserve Abraham's line, he also used one of Joseph's brothers to lay the foundation for a royal dynasty. Now, if you go back and you read The list of these brothers, the sons of Jacob, you probably would not have chosen Judah for this task of the royal dynasty. Okay, just saying, you probably wouldn't have. Probably most of us would say, well, Joseph. I mean, he's a faithful guy. Maybe Reuben. Reuben was the oldest. Okay, so maybe Reuben. But probably not Judah. And yet, once again, it's about God's ways, not ours. And you say, well, why not Judah? What do we know about Judah? The brother Judah, what do we know about him? Well, the first time we ever hear Judah speak is back in Genesis 37. Do you remember what's going on there? Joseph had this coat of many colors, arguably perhaps a little bit obnoxious. Can we agree on that? Maybe just a little bit, borderline, okay? Maybe just a little obnoxious. But you know, the brothers wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. And Judah speaks up and says, wait, guys, tell you what, instead of killing him, why don't we just sell him to this group that's going through? That way he's out of our hair, and at the same time we get a little cash. And so that's really the first time we hear anything from Judah. And whether he was aware of it or not, he was helping to preserve the line and lineage. Okay? Probably he didn't think about it at the time that way, but again, it's God's ways as it works out. Okay? And as you think about it, that's kind of the high point, because things get a little strange after that. In Judah's life, while Joseph was in Egypt preparing to save his family from the famine, Judah's first son died without children. If you go back and read the story, Scripture tells us God killed him because he was evil. So Judah's first son doesn't have children. God strikes him dead because he's evil. That's a bad start. But as was the custom, Judah's second son took the wife, Tamar. He took his brother's widow as his wife. Things were a little strange there too. He wasn't obedient. God killed him too. Okay, we're 0 for 2 on the sons and the children. And Judah decides, rather than give Tamar to his third son, because it hadn't worked out too well, I guess, he goes, I'll tell you what, let's not. And kind of sends her away in her grief. So he's not going to give it to the third son, sends her away. Well, as it unfolds, Tamar goes and tricks Judah into sleeping with her. And the result of that is two children. Two sons. So Judah ended up being the father and grandfather to the same two boys. Isn't that bizarre? Yeah, I mean, it really is a bizarre. You can't make this stuff up. Well, yeah, I take it back. Hollywood does every day. But generally, in Scripture, you don't see this kind of thing unfold. So you get this kind of a twisted, this is the family line, Judah's family, that his brother, his father Jacob, had said, you know, this is going to be the scepter line. This is going to be the kingship line. This is going to be the ruler's staff. And we shake our heads and we go, wow, seriously? This is what God has planned? This is going to be the king over the nations? This is what's going to happen here? Now, remember the second part of our verse where Jacob had prophesied that nations would come to the royal son of Judah. That, in light of all of this, this is an amazing prophecy. It really is. But again, it's God's way. It's God's way of working out his promises to Abraham. And that promise to Abraham said, in you all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that's exactly what God's doing. That's exactly what he's doing here. A descendant of Abraham, specifically of Judah, as our text reveals, would not only bless the nations, but would renew, would expand God's kingdom here on earth. So in our passage in Genesis 49, we discover the seed of Abraham is also a royal seed. In spite of everything they can do, all of their mess ups, God's still using them. They are going to be the royal seed, a king through whom the nations will be blessed. Personally, I got to tell you, as you read and as you study and you look at this, you go, I am amazed at the way God preserved his people. I am amazed by it. Not only through Joseph and the circumstances of Joseph's life, but through this upside down, twisted, sideways family actions of Judah. But yet that was his plan. And through that same progression, we see God's relentless commitment to keeping his saving promises, even if he has to work both sides of the covenant. This is going to be our last stop in Genesis. And you're going, some of you are going, thank goodness, this is weird stuff. You know, but this is going to be the last stop in Genesis. But we needed this background. We needed to understand, we needed to remember that the seed of the woman, the promised seed of Abraham, and the royal seed of Judah will be the agent through whom God is going to fulfill his promise to crush the head of the serpent. And at the end of Genesis, we see the seed of Abraham, the promised one, has not yet come. That's in weeks to follow. Stay with us. That's weeks to follow. But next week, we're going to move out of Genesis. We're going to move out of Genesis, even though we didn't talk about the flood, even though we didn't talk about the land promises or the hints about sacrifices that we see in the story of Cain and Abel and Noah and Abraham. You see, but what is important is that we see that the basic covenant structure in Genesis, what God is going to do. And that is the foundation for the rest of the biblical narrative and, in fact, all of human history. So I'll give you kind of a teaser for next week. We will be talking about sacrifices. We'll be talking about the law of Moses. But we'll be talking about them from the aspect of how these continue to move the story of the Bible and the saving promises forward. Read a little bit ahead. Our highlights, I think, has the verses listed there. Call me if you want to kind of read ahead a little bit. It's important for us to understand God has put a plan in place, not only for all of humanity, but as Jeff made known to the children, for each of our individual lives. God has a plan for us. We need to be available. We need to make ourselves available to him so that he can use us in a way that will give glory to him. Some of you, as I said, that God was not dependent upon the faithfulness of humanity, that may have set you back just a little bit. But see, fortunately, he does use us. And fortunately, there are those that have always been faithful. And so God's promises continue to be fulfilled through those who choose to be faithful and choose to be available. I pray this week, as God speaks to and through you, you would choose to be available and you would choose to be obedient to his calling on your life. Would you pray with me and ask him? Gracious Father, I ask you myself that you would continue to use me, that you would continue to speak to me. Father, as I make myself available and obedient to your ways, that you would receive the glory for all that you do through me. Father, we ask not only personally, but on behalf of this congregation, that you would use us as the body of Christ, that you would use us as the lighthouse here in this corner of the world. Father, that we would be faithful to reach out, to touch and to bless those that we come in contact with, to remember how much you've blessed us, to remember the promises that you've made to us. God, we thank you for the chance to be together on this icy, cool day and to look at your word and to examine for ourselves what it means to be children of the King. Father, to be chosen in a way that is truly a blessing. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I don't really know a whole lot about religion or the Bible or Jesus or God or any of that. But I know that I need a Savior. I know that I can't do it by myself. I can't do it on my own. That's why God sent His Son Jesus. And we'll get to that part in the narrative, you know, as we go through. But understand for today, God loves you so much that He provided a plan. He provided a way to restore the brokenness that we've been studying about. And that was His Son Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I'd love to share with you how you can know Him personally. And I'll be here at the front and be glad to share that with you while, when we stand up and sing in just a moment. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but maybe I'm just not quite as available and obedient as I need to be, I think we can all say that at some point in our lives. If you want to settle that with God, you can certainly settle it with Him just by praying to Him right where you're standing and singing. If you'd like to come speak with me, I'll be glad to talk with you. The altar will be open. If you want to come up here and pray, that's great. That's fine. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park, I can highly recommend it. A wonderful group of believers gathered together. And there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Invite you following the benediction and the choral response, greet one another, offer umbrellas to one another, do what's necessary to extend the warm fellowship that we know and love at College Park. Blessings on you as you go from this place. Stay safe, stay warm. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, to spend time in worship. Father, to lift up praises to you for who you are. Father, to give thanks for all that you do in our lives and to study more about your plans and your purposes for our own lives individually as well as corporately. God, we love you. I mean, you know our hearts. You know that we love you. But sometimes we slip and we seek to do our own thing rather than your way. So we ask for forgiveness. Father, we ask for encouragement and power as we seek to get back on track and live the life that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.